This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hour here on Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey with you as well on your gloomy Tuesday, but it's sunshine and rainbows and flowers at the Fesco and the Morey household, that's for sure. It is Tuesday, so hopefully you're all enjoying your second day of the week. I always feel like once you get past Tuesday, it's easy street. I don't know why that is for me. Maybe that's our schedule. Maybe that's just the way we do things here, but I know tomorrow's the middle of the week. Then by the time the show's tomorrow is over, I know Maller's going to join us on Thursday, and then you get to Friday, and everything's just like blinders.
Yeah, it's getting through Monday and Tuesday. It really is, yeah.
And this Monday was, you know, loaded with just draft content and Shedeur Sanders. And this Tuesday at 9 o'clock is loaded with start bench cut.
Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start Bench Cut.
That's right, Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service. 913-586-7965. Feel free to get engaged and involved as well. We started off with Fersker, Walter Pennington, Josh Willingham.
Cut them all.
Yeah, you cut Fersker, you have 85 available.
Fersker ain't making this team.
No, Fersker's not making this team. And it was him and Tonyan who both even shared that number. They were both in and out of the roster. Robert Tonyan.
Oh, we remember Robert Tonyan.
Yeah, Robert Tonyan.
We do?
Bob Tonyan.
Yeah. I don't know that I know him. What did he do?
He doesn't have a pretzel named after him, that's for sure.
No, he doesn't.
I also noticed, I need to get with Maloney on this, because there's a Big Bob's store next to the landing.
Oh,
there is?
Mm-hmm. It's like flooring repair. It's like Big Bob's, and I'm like, whose Big Bob's pretzel is it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it does have my name on there and says Bob Fesco of 96.5. The fan likes these pretzels, so.
And that theory is completely crushed as there's never any fun on this show. We move on to start bench cut. Jersey, hat, or Scherzy?
Start the hat, bench the Scherzy, cut the jersey.
I'll cut the Scherzy, I'll bench the jersey.
And start the hat.
I'll start the hat.
We're all there. The hat starts over everything.
A1.
The hat's the best purchase of a team.
It's the easiest. It's the nicest. It's the cleanest. It's
quick.
Doesn't go out of style.
Yep. Most designs.
And most come back in style.
It's true.
And you have to worry about a player leaving.
That's why I always tell people, like, what jersey should I buy? Mahomes or Kelsey? Oh, I really want a Chris Jones one.
I really want that Fersker jersey.
Well, you want that 85 Royals one. You got to get that Fersker one out of here. We go to the NFL draft. Quarterbacks that were drafted. Ooh. Start, bench, cut. Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders.
Right in that order.
I'll switch Sanders and Dart.
You think Dart's going to be good?
No, I think I'd cut and Dart.
Oh, cut Sanders. I'm sorry.
You know, yeah. Start Ward, I'll bench Sanders, I'll cut Dart.
Yeah, I mean,
just based on talent.
It's not about talent anymore.
No, yeah.
Pick 144 of the draft, brother. God, he went so low.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's his talent that's why he went low.
Nope.
No,
I definitely
not.
Don't think that.
I'd rather have a guy with the reverse. I'd rather have a less talented guy and a humble guy than a braggadocious guy with okay talent.
Yeah, you want Chad Pennington. Which, I mean, I guess he's somewhat successful in the NFL when he was in there.
Yeah, but okay, right?
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Cleveland would beg for him, you know?
It's true. Yeah, right now? Well, they have him. His name is Joe Flacco.
Man, he's the best trade availability that they have, too.
Pittsburgh would beg for him. That's for damn sure.
And you're Cleveland. I don't think you're trading him to Pittsburgh, but, you know.
They got another guy that's up for a trade if you want him, but he's got a lot of money in his bag you got to pick up as well, and he sucks.
Yeah, but
that's it.
I mean, nobody's seriously, like,
I don't know,
considering
man.
That guy,
he'll
right?
never play it down, right?
Is that owner of Cleveland going to buy another franchise?
Phew. I don't know. I never say never in the NFL. That's one thing I've learned.
Are you starting Ward?
Yes.
Okay. So same order, kind of?
I'm starting Ward. I'm benching Sanders and cutting Dart.
Gotcha.
Like, I think Sanders was pick 144 out of spite. I think there's still talent there. I don't think it's a fifth-round talent. I think it might have been a third- to a fourth-round talent. But I think that sometimes you can be a poison of your own self. And if, like, you let yourself get in the way of your talent, you will not make it. And that's the biggest question we have now. Because now Cleveland has a complete sideshow for a backup quarterback. And that's something I don't think I would ever want on my franchise.
Or a third-string quarterback, yeah, for that matter. Or like, a practice squad guy.
Yeah. Like, imagine if, like, Gardner Minshew came over with baggage and he was more talked about and more thought about than Patrick Mahomes. It'd be like, there's no chance, dude. Like, that ain't going to work. Like, you know it's not going to work. It won't work in Cleveland, but he'll go somewhere and someone will take a rally on Shador Sanders eventually someday.
When you don't have a starter, that backup quarterback's the most popular guy in town.
Mm-hmm. He will be the most popular guy in town in about...
Yep.
Whenever he shows up. You had mentioned you had Dairy Queen last night, so I bring up the most famous question of ice cream lovers. The cone, the cup, or the waffle cone?
Start the cup, bench the cone, cut the waffle cone. I'm there for the ice cream.
Mm-hmm. You don't like the crunch?
Yeah.
I like the bottom of that, like, original cone, that when you get to the very, like, the drumstick part.
Mm-hmm.
I think I start the original cone, bench the waffle, get rid of the cup. Now, the cup is the best way to eat ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
A la helmet, same thing. Very easy, very clean. You know, you're not, you know, getting dirty. Very OCD with hands stuff. I'm almost like a Howie Mandel guy.
Who?
Howie Mandel.
Johnny's brother?
Or not Mandel. Howie Mandel. Is it Mandel?
Mandel, yes.
Mandel. Man, just getting jumped on with names today. I go cone, the original, the waffle, too. Like that waffle cone at Cold Stone?
Yes. Oh, I love Cold Stone.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I'll start the waffle. I'll bench the cone and I'll cut the cup. I'm there for the crunch. I'm a little bit different than you, Bob.
That's cool. I'm there for the ice cream.
Yeah, I get you.
Moving on to heels of sports leagues, because Dylan Brooks last night was well advertised as a heel. Jimmy Butler's throwing jabs at him, and then there's three technical fouls on one play.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz Chisholm, Dylan Brooks, Ja'Marr Chase.
Ooh. I'm starting Chase. I'm benching Chisholm, and I don't know who that third guy is. So,
you go, Dusty. I'm having trouble
for best
here.
Heels for start bench cut.
That's what we're doing. Best heels. Okay.
Dylan Brooks is number one. I think Jazz Chisholm is number two, just because he plays for the Yankees. Nobody cares about the Bengals except for one guy who does a show from 10 to 2 as a producer named Drew Nixon.
Oh, I'd love to see them fail.
And you know, Dylan Brooks has been doing this for a while, and I think, you know, Jazz Chisholm being a Yankee and being the way that he was.
Is he good enough to be a heel, though?
You don't have to be good to be a heel. Russell Wilson's a heel, and he sucks.
Russell Wilson also went to 2 Super Bowls. Russell Wilson's had a lot of success in the NFL.
I'm talking about right now, though. I'm not talking 10 years ago. And I think that Dylan Brooks isn't good.
I think Jazz Chisholm is too irrelevant, really, to be a heel right now. Like,
okay.
You know?
I wish him when he came last year.
Yeah, I wish he was a bigger one, but...
Who's the heel in baseball?
It's a good question.
It's Jazz Chisholm.
I don't know that that's a universal feeling at all. I really don't. I don't. I don't know who.
Yeah, maybe
the heel
there isn't
is.
One right now. Maybe he'd be mine.
One. And that's okay if there isn't one right now. You can't force it, right? It just has to happen naturally. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if baseball. I mean, the heels in baseball have always been the guys who are on steroids, basically, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. There's the bed.
I mean, you could have the Dodgers as your heel because they spend money, but also I would rather have the Marlins as my heel or the Pirates because they don't spend money. So I think it's just all about how you look at it and how you judge it. And I think there has to be some sort of success. I think Belichick was the heel because he was successful and he was arrogant, you know? And he's trending that way in college.
You go on to yard work because, Mac, did you end up mowing yesterday?
I did.
Good for you.
Yep, got out there.
Start bench cut, weed eating, hedge trimming, blowing the shavings and the leaves with the leaf blower.
Well, that's the best part, is the blowing of the shavings of the leaves. I'm starting that.
Is it the satisfactory that you get when it goes off your driveway? Yeah, it's nice.
And then it's right back.
Yep, of course.
So I'm going to go the blowing of the shavings of the leaves, weed eating number 2, and then hedge trimming number 3.
Yeah, I agree. Although, hedge trimmer, still need one of those. That and a saw, yeah.
I don't have a saw. I don't think I'm trusted to use a saw. We go to something that fits our style of lives pretty often on the weekends. When you're trying to let loose, how do you rank them? Start, bench, cut. Friday night, Saturday afternoon, little Sunday brunch.
Right in that order.
Really? Okay. I'll switch the Saturday afternoon and Friday night. I'll start Saturday afternoon.
I do like a nice little like 1:30, yep. 2 o'clock start on Saturday, done by 7.
Exactly. Yes.
And then you got Sunday to relax and take. But I do love a Sunday brunch.
Oh, Sunday brunch is fantastic.
Get after with mimosas.
Yes, Hannah
Friday
would start
night's
that.
So nice because you've done the whole week and then you can
you're done.
Yeah,
you're done.
That's fair.
Like, this is Saturday. You're like, you're looking back on Friday going, I wish it was Friday. Friday night, you're never really wishing it was anything else other than Friday night.
Start bench cut since Raw was in Kansas City last night. WWE Raw was there. Would you rather start bench or cut being a face, a heel, or a mid-card guy?
I want to be the heel. Start the heel.
I think you want to start the heel, right?
I'm going to start the heel.
And then you want to be the face.
Yeah, face.
And then the mid guy is like, nobody really knows who that is.
Feel bad for the mid guy, yeah.
Yeah, like Cody and Alex, right? I kid!
Oh, my Lord. And with that, we will end it there. That is Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service. Coming up on the other side, it's our guy we get to tap into about the draft and other things concerning the NFL. It's one Joshua Briscoe who joins us here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Somebody says the umpires are the heel in baseball. Those are the bad, evil people in baseball. Not far from it. The heel in baseball is also the owners.
That's a good one.
And then somebody says Rendon or Garrett Cole. Are either one playing currently?
Garrett Cole's out for the year. And I don't know about Rendon.
Rendon's been, he's on that Kirk Cousins contract flex.
Well, yeah, that's kind of why he's a heel, because he's just a douche.
Got all that money.
He's like, nah, I'm good here. I'm not going to play again. What do you mean you're not going to play? Hey, you're going to play. We paid you all this money. Get your ass out there and play.
No doubt about it. We are now joined by Josh Briscoe to talk about all things NFL draft and maybe the future of this NFL team. We're not here to ask for grades. You're not a professor, but I do want to ask how you feel going into May with the new arrivals on this Chiefs roster, Mr. Briscoe.
I feel pretty good about the Chiefs. I'm hearing myself in my headphones right now, which is actually perfect. So I was going to say, I think my brain is oatmeal. That's what I feel like now. Like, I'm hearing myself and I've been hearing echoes of drafts names, and I slept finally well last night. So I have recovered, and I feel like the Chiefs have recovered in some really key ways here too.
Which key way? Let's start there. Where did they recover?
Well, I think the most obvious thing is, I know I was on with Cody and Gold on Friday. I know Bink is not going to join us on this one.
No.
But I think they have solved the question of what is the long-term plan at left tackle. And with the Josh Simmons pick, I understand the risk. And truly, I understand where Bink's coming from. I understand seeing that pick and your first reaction being, okay, don't love it, but we'll see where he goes. Here's the thing, though, with Simmons. He really, truly, and I think a lot of people know this by now, he would have been the first or second tackle off the board without the injury. Right. Now, the Chiefs don't get to draft a guy who wasn't injured, right? Like, they still have to play in that alternate universe. He's not a Kansas City Chief. But when you have that opportunity to get a guy with that sort of ceiling, the type of risk matters, but it doesn't move me entirely. Like, go back 2 years to Felix and Udike Uzama at 31 overall. That was a selection that had a risk of development. Of, let's take this really young kid who's taken one big jump and bet that he can do it again at the NFL level. Well, he has a red shirt year and then kind of a semi sort of working your way into the rotation year two. That was a different type of risk. Xavier Worthy was too small to be a top 10 or 15 pick. You're taking the risk that he'll have a long, healthy NFL career. And I think that was a wise risk there too. So there's always going to be a real risk. I think once you get outside the top 10 and sometimes even higher than that, I'm really comfortable with Simmons's risk and the way the Chiefs process came through there. So that's the one I'm the most excited about. Obviously, it's the most premium pick, and I think it's going to be really fun to follow. Even if it's not the best case scenario, the process was good and the player is excellent.
Well, I think also too, the Chiefs are afforded to be in that position, Josh, with all the work that they put in over the decade of establishing themselves as an organization where you have that opportunity. How many teams would love to be in that position where the Chiefs are? I don't want to use it to take a flyer because he's a hell of a player, if he's healthy, but how many teams are capable of even being able to be in the position to do something like that? The Chiefs are one of the few.
And really, it's kind of funny to think back to last year when the Chiefs might not have been one of those teams in retrospect, right? Like, what I think the biggest reason they can do this year is Jalen Moore's existence. And I know, like, that's a decent chunk of money, and I think, obviously, the plan is for him to be your starting left tackle this year. And then next year, best-case scenario, you got Josh Simmons forcing his way onto the field, and Jalen Moore is an above-average right tackle in 2026, if that's where you go. But thinking about the fact that you have Moore as your incumbent now, as opposed to going into this time last year, it was, okay, well, it's Wanya Morris versus Kingsley Suamataia. People were talking about David Bakhtiari maybe getting added to the training camp roster. This is still night and day from where they were last year, when obviously that position haunted them throughout the season. They have two better investments now in Jalen Moore and Josh Simmons than they had with the left tackle position last year with the combo of Kingsley and Wanya.
Keeping it with the combo, Josh, they brought back Kareem Hunt, and of course they have Isaiah Pacheco. Got a running back in the seventh round. I think a lot of us, myself included, were thinking a little bit higher is where they would select the running back class. But what's your thoughts on the kid from SMU and pick at the seventh round pick?
You should know, I really had a rough 2020 draft cycle as I was really kind of solidifying my stance in the sort of running backs don't matter kind of space. And then the Chiefs take Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I had a very, I had an upsetting couple of weeks, as many, many of my very wrong takes became very, very evident, right? That's where I've kind of been evolving over these last 5 years. Obviously, the Clyde pick backfires for the Chiefs. And then even as last year goes around, I think there's been a little bit of a misrepresentation now of like the idea that running backs don't matter. The idea is that there are a lot of really good running backs. And look, man, I grew up a Chiefs fan. I grew up on Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson and Jamal Charles. Like, those were the stars. You know, Tony Gonzalez, don't want to leave him out. But this was a running football franchise here. Last year, you see them just kind of cobble it together. So I, as a bit of a running backs don't matter dork, even I was there on day three going, all right, well, I'd take DJ Giddens here. I'd take Martinez here. I'd take Devin Neal here. And they just kept going and going and going and going. And if they would have left that draft class without Breshard Smith, who I think might have been one of the last one or two running backs on the board, who kind of felt like he had a little more juice than just whatever UDFA you'd see in the offseason, I am now totally back at ease because of Breshard Smith. I think he has a skill set and also, very importantly, a rookie contract that this depth chart really, really needed. I think he has a chance to contribute early. I think it's a smart bet. I think the skill set is fun, and he has a little more juice for this running back room. Plus, I think the Chiefs are telling you they think Isaiah Pacheco is going to look much, much better not rushing back from the ankle injury. I still wouldn't have minded them going running back in even the fourth or fifth round. I'm really glad they ended up with Jalen Royals, though. I would not have minded an earlier investment in running back, but ultimately my concerns were pretty well soothed by Breshard Smith in the seventh.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I really like that pick in the seventh round because I'm with you. I'm not a huge running back guy, and you know, to invest money or a high draft pick in a running back still, in my opinion, is fool's gold, because just because a couple of guys were good last year doesn't mean we have to change the entire position that we've been looking at for the last decade and go, okay, now we need to spend on this position. So they found Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round. You know, who's to say this guy can't be the next, if you will, obviously not same player, but Isaiah Pacheco, where you found a running back in the seventh round that turned into a big time contributor for you. And with Andy Reid, who's to stop him?
And they kind of keep doing similar things elsewhere structurally, where you're kind of saying maybe Elijah Mitchell's Jerick McKinnon-ish, right? And Jerick McKinnon was, maybe he'll be Damian Williams-ish. I think that there's a strategy of numbers, of volume there, where you do still have to inject fresh talent, right? That's why I wanted to see somebody in the room. Because if you just said, yeah, we're going to just throw the numbers at it, and it's exactly last year, plus maybe Elijah Mitchell will be on the field. Maybe. We'll find out. Now there is that feeling of, hey, here's one new ingredient. Plus Pacheco's healthy. Plus Kareem Hunt will be here in training camp and not have to have whatever it was, 27 or 28 carries in his first game back. So I think it is a coherent group. It's not a super exciting room, but I think the Chiefs just need to have a varied skill set. The logic they sold on that Clyde pick 5 years ago was, hey, here's one guy who can be on the field all three downs. And I understood the vision for that, but that's very, very rare. Like you mentioned, Bob, and I think it's a good point, we shouldn't be recalibrating our entire strategy here because Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry went to really good teams with really good running games and really good quarterbacks and had unbelievable seasons. They deserve a ton of credit for that, but those are even more exceptional than some of the other running back conversations we've been having in previous years. A bad team will not be saved by a running back. A great team can be aided by a great running back. But if you're going to go ahead and say, all right, Josh, well, you tell me, would you rather have Devin Neal in the fourth and a seventh round wide receiver, or Jalen Royals in the fourth and Breshad Smith in the seventh? I'm taking option B, no doubt.
I'm with you on that, too. I like Royals, man. What's your thought on him?
It's sort of refreshing that they found a wide receiver who mostly plays on the outside, and they said, hey, you know what? I think we have a role for him. That's the thing for me where I know I get too excited about a rookie wide receiver, because they've really hit on Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, and even they take 8, 9, 10, 12 weeks to kind of really fully get in the mix. So I don't want to tell you that Jalen Royals is going to be the outside wide receiver starting in week one, because I want to say that. But he seems to me like a guy whose game is going to translate pretty well. He doesn't have one of those like super overwhelming physical traits that makes you a first round pick, or even Rashee Rice is a second rounder with the ball in his hands. But I think Jalen Royals was much closer to a second or third round prospect, a legitimate day two prospect who, again, can be that X outside receiver. At least that's the goal here, right? You have all these players who are really good in the slot, and different types of guys who are really excellent out of the slot, like Rashee Rice, like Xavier Worthy. You also need to continue to build that room up in the future. Rashee Rice only has 2 years left on his rookie contract. I know that feels crazy, but he's coming back off this injury. He's probably going to have a suspension. You've got to keep investing in that spot. I really like doing that with Royals.
When you look at this team going into next year, I think there's going to be a lot of similarities in the offense that we saw last year as into this year. Like, I know there's, you know, a lot of us that want to see that 2018-19 offense that was electric and explosive and historic, but it seems like they almost have it figured out with chaotic routes that work for them, and they just keep moving the chains, and they want to win games 21-14, 21-17. Is there going to be a difference or an uptick in offense in this year, or do you have anything that says it's not?
I think we have evidence that there will be at least stylistic differences, because I think that was plan A last year. I mean, think back to training camp and all of the Hollywood downfield routes, and look at Xavier Worthy making Matt Nagy dance on the field, right? Like, that was kind of the vibe of the offense before the injury started falling and falling and falling and falling. So I don't want to give you sunshine and roses. Only thing that's ever going to happen is the best case scenario, because that's not how the NFL works. But if you do think back to how much of that season was without Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, and you think about adding both of them back in as contributors now too, in place of DeAndre Hopkins, or as much as Juju Smith-Schuster played, or Justin Watson even, I do think that there is a talent increase from last year, but I am saying that about a healthy roster right now, by and large. The other thing is I even wonder what last year's offense looks like if left tackle is average. And I think Jalen Noor will be average if Josh Simmons isn't healthy out of the gate and doesn't push for that job in training camp. I wouldn't rush him. I just think there's like a 30% chance that that's happening. If it's Jalen Noor for 17 regular season games, or however many he can play, I think that boosts this offense. I think Jalen Royals is a nice investment for the back half of the season and in playoff time. But ultimately, if Rashee Rice is back and healthy, if Hollywood Brown looks like the guy the Chiefs thought they signed the first time, this offense will be pretty significantly better in my book.
And I'm with you on the left tackle spot. That was the reason why, for the most part, last year they couldn't get things going. Obviously, the injuries are going to be, you know, a factor, and it really does show you how good Patrick Mahomes is, that he could take all those injuries that you just mentioned, still go 15-2 and still go to the Super Bowl and still avoid a left tackle position that was absolutely disgusting last year. Now you're going into the year, and if you're just competent at that left tackle, the rest of the league should be scared, because Patrick Mahomes can do great things if he has some time.
Well, I think that's kind of the connective tissue of what both of you guys just said that I have been keeping in mind throughout this entire draft process. And I know Brett Veach is keeping this in mind. I know the Chiefs have been having this conversation internally. But part of the reason, I mean, not even part, an enormous part of the reason the Chiefs have had all of this success in recent years boils down to simply having Patrick Mahomes play quarterback.
Right.
He can cover up a bunch of your warts. You can have a crummy left tackle. You can have your top two wide receivers go down within the first few weeks of the season. You can have your number one running back go down, and he can drag you all the way to an AFC champion, an AFC West championship, an AFC championship, and a Super Bowl, doing that with him and Travis Kelce and Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid putting their heads together. But That's also true in a better case scenario, where if you have a really good offense, if the circumstances are quarterback friendly, if you have a lot of weapons and an offensive line that can protect your quarterback, I believe we will see again Patrick Mahomes raise that level from a very good offense to the rocket ship flying through space that we saw earlier on. So it's harder now because Mahomes' contract isn't on a rookie deal, and they're paying a lot of guys on the defense, and they continue to invest in defense in the draft, which is wise to continue doing. But if you can get that place back to just where the surroundings and the supporting cast is good to very good, Patrick Mahomes will make you elite. If the supporting circumstances are crummy, he'll make you AFC West champions because he's a magician. But I'm hoping that they don't have to have Patrick Mahomes keep living that way. I know that this draft, this offseason, is another reinvestment in trying to solve that problem.
So somebody that's not in Kansas City, what was your sort of take now that it's Tuesday and it's finally gotten a little bit more rest on the whole Shador Sanders slide?
Yeah, it was interesting on a bunch of levels, right? I think step one was that, like, he was never in the real top five pick conversation for the league, right? Like, there was a little bit of the media inflation of, well, we know this guy, we know this guy's dad, and this is, like, maybe the most visible college football program in the country right now. Not most successful, most visible. But you see all of that, and that's something that can raise your stock. Being a quarterback can raise your stock. And I think, as we've seen now a little bit of the reporting and hearing a little bit these last couple of days, I kind of buy into the idea that, I can't remember who phrased it this way, but I kind of buy into the idea that he and his camp were kind of treating them as recruiting visits rather than job interviews. And I don't think that that's just like a, he has a bad attitude, we don't want him in the building kind of deal. I don't think he was getting blackballed or anything like that. But I can understand being an NFL team at a couple of levels and going, yeah, well, we don't really see the vision for him as our franchise quarterback. I don't know I love him as our developmental second string kind of guy. I would understand that logic coming together. NFL teams have used that before. And I also still think there were probably, I don't know, three or four teams that should have taken him two or three rounds earlier. The Steelers still should have taken him with one of those picks before Cleveland did. Cleveland, I'm not sure I understand, but I understand the slide. I think a team should have stopped it before the fifth round, right? Unbelievable that he made it to day three, even, frankly. But a really interesting little case study in a very unique process.
It really just goes to show you, too, Josh, how much people think what the media is making up on their draft boards is exactly what NFL, you know, talent evaluators are thinking, too.
Right, and it's kind of interesting because sometimes you see, like, I think the last few years, a lot of those big, like, consensus boards, Arif Hassan and his Substack was called Wide Left. He's the one that puts together a bunch of those big boards to come up with the consensus boards. That's what almost makes the Shador thing even more interesting, is the consensus boards have been getting really, really good publicly over the years, but Shador was still inflated over everybody else, even though a lot of these analysts were saying, yeah, I mean, he's, like, my player 25 or something. Obviously, he ends up going far, far below that. So again, right. I think that's another reason the case study is so interesting, is because a lot of those big boards have been getting pretty good over the years, and you see a team like the Chiefs this year even have one of the best draft classes amongst a lot of those consensus big board rankings, finding value later on. That's another reason that, like, Jalen Royals in the fourth round feels pretty good to me.
When you look at the Cam Ward situation, do you like Cam Ward in the NFL, or do you think that there's still a lot more to be discovered with what he can do in this league?
I think I completely understand why the Titans said, we're going to stay right here and we're going to take the quarterback. And frankly, this could have been an argument I would have considered making for Shador, not at one or even really probably in the first round. But again, if the Steelers would have taken him late in the first, I wouldn't have batted an eye. Nobody would have.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you don't have the plan or even like a reasonable space holder at quarterback, it's very hard to pull the rest of the team into shape around you. And I don't want them to have Cam Ward like have to do what Patrick Mahomes did for the Chiefs last year, right? Because I don't think any rookie's ever in a position to do that. That's almost impossible. But I think the Titans see the vision for him as a playmaker, kind of the culture setter and all of those things, where you do have this fresh administration coming in. I understand. I think it's worth the first overall pick to have the quarterback, your pick of the class, and a guy that does really have a skill set that you can see the future for. Shador doesn't have those physical tools that I would have bought into, even if you buy into him as a leader or whatever. I get it for Cam Ward. I like the story even. Like, maybe that's what GMs buy into sometimes and shouldn't, but I get it. Like, this guy clawing his way, stop the stop, and now he's here at this level, at the very peak of the NFL draft. I'm not like in love with Cam Ward. I wouldn't bet on him being a top 10 quarterback, but I understand why the Titans do it. Cause otherwise you're selling a fan base on, hey, let's give Will Levis one more year while we try to figure things out. I think you want to be building with the future in mind. And there's also no guarantee you're going to have a shot at a better prospect next year.
Well, and the thing is too, though, it's a good situation, but a bad situation. Cause now the clock immediately starts ticking on Borgonzi down there in Nashville. And they ran Carthon out of the building there in 2 years down in Tennessee. So, I mean, it's not like they're exactly, you know, willing to be patient. So he just started his clock down there.
No, that's true. And I don't, it seems like a lot of that has been ownership. And I'm hoping, I can't remember how long Borgonzi's deal was for, if that got publicly reported or not. But I was thinking that there was a little bit of job security for him because it has been kind of a sketchy footing with ownership and that revolving door there. But you're right. I mean, the clock starts now, but I think you'd rather have the clock start with, it's not a great quarterback draft class. We all saw that. But I think you'd rather start the clock with your choice of the quarterbacks in this year's class rather than kind of start your clock now. And the next year, what if the Titans screw around and win six games? And now you're picking 4, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there and trying to figure out how you find your quarterback. So it is absolutely a imperfect situation, and this is not an Andrew Luck type of prospect at one, but I understand how Borgonzi got to the point where we love this quarterback enough to get married, at least for right now. It's not a marriage, it's a rookie contract, so I think 4 or 5 years, probably a reasonable bet for them to make.
Last one, because we're going to talk about it on the other side of this interview, 100 men or one silverback gorilla, who wins?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen all these graphics about how like 4% of American men think they could beat up a gorilla one-on-one. That's insane. I think 100 would have a chance, but I would not want to be among those 100. So, I may go ahead and take humanity, but it would be from the other side of the glass and watching through fingers through my eyes.
No doubt about it. Briscoe, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the schedule release on May 14th, and then the real season begins.
You know that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think I said with my fingers through my eyes, which is what would happen if I was fighting a gorilla.
No doubt about it. Well, we appreciate the time, Briscoe. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
That is Josh Briscoe there. Join us here on Fesco and Dusty. I mean, I'm excited for this team to start things up. I mean, you mentioned the Royals guy. I think that's the guy that everybody's... Is it because of what this team could be with explosiveness? Is that why he's attractive? Or is it because of the name?
It's the name.
Okay.
I was wondering. No, it's 100% the name. Yeah.
Royals.
Yeah, of course.
4440. But he could wear 85 if we can get that one guy.
What's his name? Rahifio?
Fursker. However you say it. Sir. And then Robert Tonyan.
Felter Bubic is the matchup tomorrow night. No, Royals will be in action. We'll get back into that. Plus, the question we asked Briscoe, 100 men, one silverback gorilla. There's only one answer in this entire conversation. We'll get to it on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Was somebody who had too much time in the garage. It was not me, Bob, or Mac. I can promise you that. For those of you that have been all over your Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it may be, have seen the trending topic going around. 100 men or a silverback gorilla?
Who it's not wins? Even a conversation.
That's what I'm with you.
I mean,
I'm with you.
And it was also... unarmed men.
Yeah.
No weapons. It makes a big difference. You give somebody a gun, that's a different conversation, or a rifle, or a bow and arrow, whatever, any sort of weapon. 100 unarmed men would get destroyed by the silverback gorilla. And there's no, I mean, like, I don't know who thinks 100 men could attack and beat this gorilla, or any gorilla.
So I feel we're going to get theories. So from the text line, from the 815, 100 men would outsmart and overwhelm the gorilla. The gorilla is still vulnerable to the nut check from behind. Sure, it might take out 20 to 30 of the men before it's down and out, but in the end, the men take the W.
No.
I don't think so.
No, they're not going to nut check a gorilla. They'll stomp on
you. Plus, do we know that hurts the gorilla the same way it hurts us?
Like, it probably doesn't feel good. Get him stunned for a minute.
Or you do that, and then you just piss him off even more, and he goes out there and just rips people's heads off.
Because I've watched like 4 simulators on this of like what would happen.
And
like
simulations are funny.
Every single one of them seems to start off with like everybody crowding the gorilla, and then the gorilla just going full like Donkey Kong, Smash Bros., crushing like 10 men in seconds, which means the odds of the gorillas significantly go higher for every single male that is going out or whoever's fighting in this thing, the 100 people, whatever it is. So as soon as you're down to like 80, you're screwed. And how many of these guys that say that, oh yeah, you have to sign up, you have to go all out, how many, as soon as they get up there and they see that thing standing there like, F this, you know, like start running away.
For sure. I guess I'm picturing these 100 guys are in it with me. Like we've got a plan. I don't know. I've thought about it. If you spread it out 50 and 50, get them distracted. I don't know where we're at, what the terrain looks like. Mm. But if there's a place where I can get 50 of us to, we're distracting the gorilla. Other 50 are on a cliff, some sort of 10 feet above, 5 feet
above.
Good luck
getting 50
jump
people
on
to even consider doing this, let alone 100.
Well, that's a
we can barely
hypothetical.
Get
what are we talking about? Yeah. What are we doing? Yeah. But 180-pound average of 100 men, 18,000 pounds versus, what is a gorilla, 600?
Sure.
18,000 pounds versus 600 pounds? Mm. There's a chance.
No, there's not.
There's a chance. Yeah, no, also, I think we're underestimating how many 100 is.
We're also,
start counting to 100. You'll see.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I understand that. But you're also talking about a gorilla who doesn't have the ability to understand like fear, maybe. And like humans will look at that and go, I'm out of here, man. So you're losing 30% of your guys right away.
Again, I guess I think that ruins the hypothetical, of course.
Yeah,
yes.
But the question is, who's going to win? So you have to walk through. I mean, hypothetically speaking, the gorilla wins and the conversation's over. So that we could have that part of the conversation, or we can talk about ways that you choose. So do we want to do a hypothetical or do we want to actually have the conversation about it? Because hypothetical 100 people versus one gorilla, the gorilla wins, the conversation's over. Mm-hmm. Now, if you say you're going to get 100 people in there, I'm saying you're going to lose 30% that don't have the balls, which would be me. I'm out. So now you're down to 70 guys. How many of those 70 guys are going to look at that and go, yeah, this is the right idea. We're going in here against this gorilla.
From the 816, Rob Maloney could do it after a couple of Surfside beverages.
Yeah. I like how he texts the show in third person, too.
He is a gorilla, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no chance.
No, there isn't. Like, even if you get the strongest people on Earth, these animals are, I mean, especially the silverback gorilla, they are some of the strongest animals on Earth. They will destroy you whack-a-mole style. They will step on you. They will pound you on top of the head. They will, one sweep of the arm will knock 20 guys out.
And that's the thing is that somebody brings up, it's 100 average men. So like yes. Alex said the same thing. This isn't 100 Miles Garrett's. Which still doesn't have a chance.
It still doesn't have a chance.
In my opinion.
Really? 100 Miles Garrett.
No. Sorry. Mm-mm. I mean, that dude's wiping out 15 Miles Garrett's in 60 seconds. Then you're down to 75.
There you go.
I mean, that guy falls on top of you, steps on top of you, grabs you. I mean, he could probably grab 5, 6, 7 humans in each hand at once.
No.
Squeeze them to death and throw them aside.
A silverback gorilla is a top gorilla breed, apex animal.
4 to 5 times stronger than a man is what some texter says.
How much?
4 to 5 times stronger than a man. 50 men would be plenty.
From the 785, I heard Doug Gottlieb could teach 100 men how to beat a gorilla.
He could. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then from the 816, shame on people hypothetically thinking about killing an animal. Oh. Stupid.
Okay. Nobody's thinking. I mean, come on. Oh. Jesus. I mean, God, people like that just ruin the day.
Yeah. Those are the best garage conversations, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's where
lion
this whole thing
versus tiger.
From.
Yeah, like that sort of stuff.
My God, lighten up.
What do they got in there? King Kong?
Yeah, this isn't King Kong, Bob. That's what 660 says. That's what I'm thinking. 6 to 7 people in each hand. What are we doing?
It could be King Dong, man. It's still taking everybody
it
out.
It
dude.
Is. I mean, when have you ever seen a human being stand? Like, if an alligator walks onto the golf course, every guy is running.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's not going to be the case when this gorilla gets let loose on 100? Like, how many people are going to be killed? How many people are going to run? You're down to 2 dudes by the time it's all said and done, and they're getting eaten for dinner.
From the 816, Binkley could line up and pancake the gorilla, but he probably wouldn't believe in Josh Simmons to do it. There's just no way. Because, like, the thing is, you're not armed. You're not. You're going in there just
no
bare knuckles, man. Like, I'm going to punch this guy in the kneecap. Watch what happens. You're dead.
you're just not beating a gorilla.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
When do they tire is my thing. Like,
they don't.
I was just saying.
Yeah.
Like,
guy will swing all day on you. And how are you taking a gorilla down? Like, you and 17 guys are, I mean, what are you doing once you get the gorilla to
like
the
I
ground?
Said, I'm distracting him, and then I'm getting other guys behind him. We're jumping on him.
What's your tactic on distracting?
The fastest 50. Let's go. We're okay. Running. We are running, and we're getting to do our spot. We've got X marks a spot. Get him there. Mm. Jump, rest of you 50. Let's go.
Yeah, I need you all here.
Yeah, 50 guys in the back of a gorilla is going to really do it.
I might go to war for Mac.
I'm the Andy Reid of this operation. Let's go.
Yeah, Andy Reid's even like, yeah, we're out on this one.
Yeah, I don't think that. I even think Andy Reid would even say he's looking forward to the challenge.
No, he would not. No.
I need that girth.
No. Yeah, look here. Minshew's going to play today.
Yeah, Chris Jones taking the day off. Yeah, Travis just retired. I don't know.
If this was an exhibition game, Andy Reid would not say the players are going to play the starters to play the first
right.
half.
They're not playing at all in this one.
100 UFC fighters? Does that narrow the gap for you at all?
No.
Really?
No, dude.
Because their hands are weapons. You know, I mean, we don't know how to use our hands.
And they're also like deranged. And
they're fighting.
I mean, they're fighting for a living, bloody knuckles for a living. So there is a little bit of that. Like, there's not the fear factor, I don't think, in the UFC guys. But still, at the end of the day, we're talking about an animal. Versus humans.
You also realize that he can take the upper half of your body and the lower half of your body and just pull it apart.
And then while that's happening, the other 50 guys.
Get him!
Exactly.
Yeah, get him.
Richard sacrificed himself. This is our moment. I was going for a shot, too. See ya. We're done, dude.
100 guys from 2025, no chance. 100 guys from the 1930s, maybe. Well, let me tell you, this gorilla, see, you got to take your cigar, burn him right on the toe. They don't like being burnt on the toe, these gorillas, see.
But no weapons.
Yeah, no weapons, man. Mac's going to use the MacGruber distraction.
You've
seen that movie, haven't
Bingo,
you?
Bingo, of course.
Yeah, the celery between the cheeks.
Yes.
That'll work.
Why are you eating it?
God. Rest in peace to Val Kilmer, who was in that movie as well, the bad guy. Yeah. So how many men do you think it would take? 200? Would you be safer with two? Would you think 200 could do it?
No. Give me just the weapons.
I think 200 is a lot of people, man.
But what, like, how do you win? Like, I don't think the gorilla ever gives up, quits, stops.
Somebody says, I would seduce him.
Yeah, we don't have, yeah.
And then somebody says, sand in the eye, kick in the nuts. Do you know how high his eyes are? You gotta make sure.
Sand in the eye. That's good.
But how do you know you're on sand?
No, that's true. We don't know the terrain, Texter.
All right. Your job tonight, fellas, is after your Tuesday session, you go to the garage and think of your next hypothetical. Could 100 defensive backs stop Patrick Mahomes from getting into the end zone?
No. Yeah. They've tried.
It's true.
Mm, yeah. 100 prime Randy Orton's. Yeah, well, you can't RKO the gorilla out of nowhere because he just knows where you're at all times. So, yeah, somebody says keep going for the eyes.
What do you, I mean, I just, it all sounds good on the surface, but then you have to do it. Yeah, go for the eyes. Okay, how are you getting to them?
You know, I'm sure there were some boxers out in the day, not named Buster Douglas or, you know, Holyfield. They were like, man, this Tyson guy, you know, he's got a weak right. I bet I could get in there. 10 seconds, game's over, dude. Like, sorry. Yeah, you thought you were tough until you got punched in the effing mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought 100 guys were great until you saw 10 completely get wiped from the earth and one fell swipe.
Yeah, like, see, that's the thing. 10 dudes get wiped out. 30 others are like, peace, man. I ain't dealing with that. I got
You're
my
right,
wife
we
to
don't
go
have a
to.
Chance.
Running. No that's, chance.
That's the end of our show on a Tuesday. Go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe. Stay dry. Stay kind. Cody Golden Drew coming up next from 10 to 2.